And now, coming to you from the gleaming spires of Chicago, broadcasting throughout the multiverse, the Nine Realms, Niflheim, Svartalfheim, Olympus, Nidaveller, basically anywhere that has the internet, really, we proudly present Radio Free Asgard.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Radio Free Asgard. This is episode number 206 of the Only Thor podcast, hosted by a true descendant of Odin. We're a proud member of the Comics Podcast Network, and we're coming at you, as always, from beautiful Chicago, Illinois. My name is Tom Harris, and I'm your host, and welcome along to all the new people who have come as the result of Twitter. Yes, we are now on Twitter. And I know it's a long time in coming. It's one of those things that, as I talk to my various podcasting friends, they were kind of evenly split on. Some people say, oh, well, it didn't really have that much effect on our numbers. It didn't really get the word out that much. And then other people who just swear by it. And I think the tipping point came this past Friday, as I speak this last Friday. Of course, you could be listening to this 50 years in the future. But I went to a podcasters group, and it was mostly people from Southgate Media, you know, Southgate Podcasting Network, and a great group of guys, and hung out with them for an evening, and we just chit-chatted about, you know, old TV shows and, you know, geek stuff, basically. But one of the things I was listening to was a conversation that they were having about Twitter and you know, social media profiles in general. So I sat down this weekend and created a Twitter account, and not surprisingly, it is at Radio Free Asgard. So if you have a Twitter account, please feel free to give us a follow, and I'll follow you back if I'm not already following you already. As it happens, I've already followed some of our listeners. So yeah, if you're out there and you're paying attention to Twitter, feel free to add us back. And if you are new to the show because of Twitter, welcome along to the show, and hopefully you'll enjoy it here, because you know we're all about reaching out, reaching new people. And of course, we have the Facebook group as well. If you're interested in contacting us through Facebook, just look for Radio Free Asgard on Facebook and you will find us. And in addition to that, as if that isn't already enough, you can email the show. The email address is radiofreeasgard@gmail.com, and you can contact us there. All right, so that seems to be about the extent of it in this pre-show little segment here. And of course, we do have an issue of Thor to cover, and that issue, of course, being Thor number 3, as we continue on with our coverage of the Lady Thor / Girl Thor saga. So let's just get on with it, shall we?
Cross the rainbow bridge of Asgard, where the booming heavens roar. You'll behold in breathless wonder the God of Thunder, Mighty Thor.
Indeed, and this week we are covering, as promised, Thor number 3. Has a cover date of February 2015, retailed for $3.99. Cover art looks to be like, Russell Dowderman. Shows Lady Thor smashing through what looks like a wall of ice. And obviously it looks like she's trapped behind it. And then Mjolnir is just kind of pounding through, and then there's little fragments of ice flying everywhere. And so let's just open up to the splash page and see what's going on.
A new Thor has risen. After Thor, Odin's son, found himself no longer worthy of wielding Mjolnir, a mysterious woman was able to lift the enchanted hammer and became the new goddess of thunder. And just in time, too, because the evil elf sorcerer Malekith has teamed up with the frost giants of Jotunheim to launch an assault on the Roxxon Energy Corporation in search of an ancient artifact, taking down the armies of Asgard and even the Avengers in the process. Dario Agger, the CEO of Roxxon, has fled into the impenetrable vault where the artifact is kept, managing to trap Mjolnir in the vault with him. Now the new Thor must prove herself the goddess of thunder to stop Malekith and save all of Midgard. If only she could get that hammer back. When the Ice Lords Make War. Jason Aaron is the writer, Russell Dowderman was the artist, Matthew Wilson is the color artist, VC's Joe Sabino was the letterer. VC's Joe Sabino was the letterer and production person. Russell Dowderman and Matthew Wilson were the cover artists. James Herron was the variant cover artist. We don't care about that. John Moisan was the assistant editor. Will Moss was the editor. Axel Alonso, the editor-in-chief. Joe Quesada is the chief creative officer. Dan Buckley is the publisher. And Alan Fine is the executive producer. Thor created by Stan Lee, Larry Lieber, and Jack Kirby. And we continue on in the story when we have a little bit of exposition, mappy, Lord of the Rings type map here, showing Utgard and the Snowstone Mountains and the Frozen Forest, and basically a very Tolkien-esque map of Jotunheim here. And we have a sinister, icy-looking castle that looks like it's made out of a giant dragon snowman sort of thing. And the caption says, "Days ago, the citadel of Utgard in the mountains of Jotunheim, realm of the giants." And we have the giant king or whatever speaking here.
"Today is the only holiday we celebrate here in Jotunheim. Today we mark the coming of the Mother Storm. It roars down out of the void, just as it has for untold eons. A blizzard the size of a galaxy, with winds that snuff out stars like flickering candles. And once the Mother Storm is at its fiercest, once that howling, murderous hurricane of ice and cold has enveloped this entire realm in its holy fury, into that fury we hurl our children. Those who survive the storm and find their way home are greeted as warriors and awarded their first war sickle. Those who don't are never spoken of again. Such is the way it has always been, ever since the first of the Jotnar rose up out of the Rhine. Such is the way of the Frost Giants. But that way, I now fear, is doomed."
And we learned that the person speaking here is, the giant speaking here, is Skrymir, the guardian of Utgard. And it appears he's speaking to another person, and that person, as we have revealed here, is Malekith.
"We celebrate the Mother Storm because it brings the life-giving ice, while scouring away our weakness. But the winds do not blow as they once did. The nights are never as cold as they were when I was a boy, lost in that storm. Nowadays, the strength of my people is like this once great citadel, melting away a little more every year. Cold, hard truth is that the Frost Giants have never been the same since we lost our king. Laufey truly was the greatest of all the giants. A thousand curses of Hun Odin and his Asgardians are taking him from us."
"Well," says Malekith, "before he died, Laufey did bequeath his son Loki unto the world. So if you ask me, it was your dear departed king who had the last laugh."
"Loki is the god of lies. Only a fool trusts him. But tell me, Malekith, was I a fool to trust the king of the dark elves? When you brokered the pact between our two realms, promises were made, promises that have yet to be fulfilled. I grow impatient, little elf, and the more impatient I grow, the more likely you are to be jellied and smeared on a cracker for my afternoon snack."
Now, Skrymir, don't say something you'll regret, dear friend. Despite the no doubt intriguing taste of your mammoth blood wine and black tar ice cream, I did not come here today for the buffet or the forlorn tales of storms gone by. I bring good news, Lord of the Jotnar. What you seek has been found. And I should describe that they're like in this giant, I guess you could say, feast hall. And got a long house made out of ice, and it's got ice tables and ice chairs and ice candles, and it's kind of cool looking, actually. I like what they've done here, and again, you have like tar ice cream and shit like that. It's like the food doesn't look very appetizing, and there's nobody in here except for Skrymir and Malekith.
"You have it? The lost skull of King Laufey?"
"Ah, I said it had been found," says Malekith. "I did not say by me. The auguries tell me it was recently unearthed by something called Roxxon, apparently a guild of miners and tradesmen."
"Like dwarves?"
"Yes, but worse. Humans."
"Damn your eyes, elf. Laufey's bones are still on Midgard, where they were lost centuries ago. It was your job to procure the skull, not just locate it. What would you have me do, invade Midgard?"
"Well, now that you mention it,
invading Midgard means going to war with Asgard, with Thor. We are not ready for such a war. Not without the skull. Not without our king. I will not see us fall yet again to that damned Odinson and his wretched hammer."
"You may just change your mind once you've heard what my spies in Asgardia have been so excitedly whispering."
Tell me, Skrymir, what is Thor without his Mjolnir?
Without the hammer? Nothing. Nothing but a god.
Then you best gird yourself for battle, Master Giant, for the Odinson hath lost his thunder, and thus the invasion of Midgard begins now.
And we get a close-up here of Malekith being all schemey and sneery. And we cut to Midgard in the present day, and we are kind of where we left off on the floating island of Roxxon. And, you know, Thor is fighting the giants there. And if you remember, she threw Mjolnir into the vault and the door closed. And so she's being cornered here by, looks like, four or five of these frost giants.
This is not good. Super strong vault doors with me on one side and Mjolnir on the other.
And we see inside the vault there is Dario Agger, and Mjolnir is pounding repeatedly against the door trying to get back to Lady Thor and making lots and lots of noise in the process. And Agger is like,
"You can stop that anytime you like, you stupid mallet. 1,000 magic hammers couldn't break down that door, and no way in hell am I about to open it, given what's waiting on the other side."
"No, definitely not good," thinks Thor.
"Well, what have we here?" says a voice. And it turns out to be Malekith. "Has Roxxon began manufacturing its own Lady Thors? And how might I go about placing an order?"
"I do not fight for Roxxon. I fight for Midgard. Leave its shores and return to your realms. All of you, this instant. And your children need not grow up fatherless. This will be your sole warning."
So Thor's trying to be the badass as normal.
"You certainly do sound like a Thor, though you appear to have misplaced your hammer. There seems to be quite a lot of that going around."
"All you brought were giants. I thought I might even the odds."
"You wear a mask. I wonder, from who or what do you hide, m'lady? The god from whom you stole that hammer, perhaps?"
"No need to worry about him.
As you can see, I relieved him of his arm and tossed him into the deep. What do you suppose I might do to you?"
"Come and test my arms, elf. I promise you will not find them to your liking."
And she's thinking to herself,
"Thor can't be dead. Malekith's bluffing. Please let him be bluffing. Am I bluffing? Without that hammer, what can I do? And how long before I change back to..."
... because they're trying to keep us in suspense.
"I think not," says Malekith. "I've already murdered one Thor this week. Giants, you may dispense of this one as you see fit."
And he goes turning around and walking away to leave the giants to eviscerate Lady Thor.
"Dispense with? That means we can kill her, right?"
"We don't have to freeze her like we did the others to keep her blood for the ritual."
"Look at her. Scrawny little thing. She ain't worth freezing. Ain't worth spitting here as I can tell."
"Ah, that's where you're wrong."
"Ha! Great idea, Spearlip. Been forever since I killed something just by spitting on it."
And they are spitting, and their spit is like these big, huge wads of ice. And they're pelting Lady Thor with it. She's trying to dodge it.
"Look at her dance."
"You bunch of slush brains. We don't have time for this. Move aside and let me deal with the wench."
And he breathes out a foosh of frozen air, and it appears to have frozen the Lady Thor solid.
There, problem solved.
So ends the story of Lady Thor. And he picks her up and he pops her into his mouth. And Malekith is doing kind of a golf clap in the panel there. Looks like he swallows her whole. And one of the giants is like,
"He could have shared."
"Best mind your tongue, boy, or Lord Skrymir's liable to feed it to the snow apes."
Interesting taste. Part god, part something else. "Now come, warriors of Jotunheim. We've got a king to rescue from hell. The skull of Laufey is near. I can feel its power."
"I sense it as well," says Malekith. "It lies inside this metal crypt. But these doors appear to be laden with a rather sophisticated network of enchanted locks. Just who is this Lord of Roxxon?"
"Stand aside, elf. Skrymir holds the key to that tiny door."
And a big club kind of reaches out and goes whoom and smashes at the door. But it doesn't seem to be doing that much.
"Did it open? What's happening?
Why can't I see?"
"No, you barely even dented the Ymir's bones. My lord Skrymir, your eyes."
Oh, so this is Skrymir that picked up Thornator. And we see that his eyes are melting. and there's a kind of sizzling from the inside. He's like, what? What's happened to my eyes? And then there's this giant croom, and his head explodes like in Scanners. And he topples down dead, apparently, with a thump. And Thor comes crawling out his neck.
I am glad you failed to heed my warning, giants. Your children will be better off without you. Come and die now, sons of Jotunheim.
And she's whipping at him, and she's got, you know, hitting him with chunks of ice and shit. And they're going, grrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrr like this Thor, says Malekith. And he decides to start casting some spells, and it looks like he's firing pentagrams and stuff at the vault. And he's like, "Your magical door defenses are no match for a mage of Svartalfheim, my lord of Roxxon. Oh, how I cannot wait to look upon your face." And we cut to inside the vault, where we have Dario Agger. He's trying to protect himself using, a computer or whatever. And the hammer is still trying to get out, ramming into the door again and again and again. Our Agger's speaking to somebody over the intercom. "Yes, you heard me correctly. Giants have overrun the island. How many fighter jets do we own?" "Never mind counting. Just send them all. Then go buy the rest." And there's a kind of a magical crackle in the vault door. And Malekith is kind of phasing through the door, trying to get into the vault. "Hello? Room for one more in here?" "What the hell?" says Agger. "My vice president of warlocks assured me these doors were magically sealed and completely impenetrable. How did you get through?"
"Better magic. I am Malekith, a dark elf sorcerer and a king. Deliver unto me the skull, and perhaps you won't have to bear witness to any more of what I can do. Though judging by the smell of you, you're no stranger to dark magic yourself, are you, Mr. Dario Agger, an American billionaire and a CEO, which, in case you don't know, is way better than being a king. And as for magic, I don't know, Malekith. You tell me. Does this look magic to you?" And he transforms, and he's changing into his bull form here. And he's going, "Grrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrr
the Minotaur.
Well, this day has just been full of surprises.
You're about to get another one jammed down your puny little throat, says Agger.
Just so you know, this isn't the first time I've been threatened by a Minotaur.
It'll be the last.
And Agger tries to gore Malekith and punch him out, and Malekith just jumps out of the way, and you can see the Minotaur just hits the floor. Malekith is casting some kind of spell at Agger. And we don't quite find out what happens yet because we cut to the outside where Lady Thor is fighting the giants. And she has picked up Skrymir's big spiky club, and she's wailing on the other giants with it, smashing them into little pieces.
By the winds of the Mother's Storm, she fights like a Valkyrie sent straight from hell.
She's a Norn witch. She must be.
Who cares what she is? Just kill her.
And she's thinking to herself,
not sure how long I can keep this up. Not long enough to beat them all, that's for sure. I can feel myself losing power the longer I'm away from the hammer. What would Thor do in a situation like this? Thor would bellow and bluster and rage until they cut off his arms, and then he would kick the hell out of them. The hammer chose me. That means I'll do nothing less, no matter the cost. Is that all you got, giants?
Shouts Thor.
I can feel my senses slipping away. Quickly, fight harder before I faint from boredom.
And we go back to the inside of the vault. Malekith and the Minotaur are scrapping, and the Minotaur is trying to brute force his way out of the situation, and Malekith is just casting spells.
You're not the Minotaur, not the one from ancient times, but there is something of his power flowing through your veins, isn't there? Tell me, from whence did you plunder it?
For the first time, we get this sort of voice in Agger's head that we've never had before, and it's like these red word balloons coming from inside his thoughts.
Hear those screams, boy. Run, Dario, run and don't look. Pray to me, little Agger. Pray for blood and you shall have it. I've earned everything I've ever gotten in life, wizard, says Agger, just like I'm about to earn your head.
And there's a bunch of crates and stuff in here that I guess I just didn't mention. There's a bunch of crates in here. And he smashes open one of the crates, the Minotaur does, and he picks up this big axe. And he says,
This magic axe came from a temple hidden deep inside Shaoxi Mountain. I had to strangle 11 Shaolin martial alchemists to get my hands on it. They thought they couldn't die either.
And he's swiping at Malekith, and cuts Malekith with the axe, and he's like, "Arg!" And the arg actually reverberates to outside where Thor is fighting the giants. And she's thinking to herself,
"Screams! Malekith must have found his way inside the vault. Agar's probably dying right now, or, on second thought, to hell with Agar. I just need that hammer, and whatever it is these giants are after, gotta make some room."
And Thor says,
"Verily, boys, this hath been fun, but I'm afraid the frivolity is at an end."
And she does the shockwave thing, you know, bashing on the floor, and the shockwave's gonna knock everyone down. It makes a big crack in the floor, and we see that the bottom of the island is starting to break out of the ice, finally. You can see the fire coming out of the rockets or whatever, so it's about damn time. But it looks like the ice is starting to dissolve, and a bunch of giants are falling through this big hole in the floor that opened up, and it's just basically the whole room that the vault is next to is just kind of collapsed.
"That ought to hold them for a moment, long enough for me to see just how much strength that hammer gave me."
So Thor goes up to the door, just trying to pry the door open. And one of the giants is trying to climb up out of the hole.
"Skymir is dead. The elf has disappeared. And King Laufey is still naught but a skull. It falls to Spearlip, son of Snowbones, to kill this wench and restore the glory of Jotunheim."
And we see that the hammer's trying to get out from inside and is making these big marks on the door. And we see, you know, Malekith fighting the Minotaur, and they're kind of going back and forth. And we're going back and forth here between what's going on in the vault and what's going on outside the vault. So Malekith is yelling at Minotaur,
"I will roast you on a spit, you jumped up bovine. How dare you lay hands on...
Oh, my." And we have Thor digging her fingers into the door, trying to dig her way in. And she's being encroached upon by the giant from behind.
"Good thing I brought my backstabbing knife."
And in the meantime, we see the hammer thumping on the door. And we see Thor's beginning to change. So there's like this magical, I wouldn't call it Kirby crackle. It's just more of like a magical crackle. And her helmet is starting to dissolve. She's starting to change back into her other identity.
"Oh, starting to change? No, please, not yet."
"Stay just like that, little bird. Just one more."
And she goes, "Yarg!" And the hammer, of course, has been, you know, continually smashing up against the door. And she is beginning to change back. And she's like, "Yarg!" And just at that moment, Mjolnir comes smashing out of the door of the vault with a runch. It does this weird little somersault thing and smashes right through the head of this giant who's going and falls down the hole. And it kind of ricochets around, knocks some of the other giants down in the hole. And as her armor is dissolving, she shouts out, "Mjolnir!" And Mjolnir comes back to her, as we can see. And in the meantime, we have the fight still going on inside the vault. And a bunch of the crates have shattered, and the skull of Laufey has been exposed. Malekith has found it, and he's like,
"At last, the skull of Laufey. Many thanks for your help in locating this sacred treasure, Sir Minotaur of Roxxon. In return, I can promise you only a mildly prolonged death."
"Step away from the skull, Malekith. I found it. Whatever power is in those bones belongs to me."
"There's an army of frost giants right outside who might object to that idea."
"And there are squadrons of fighter planes on their way right now to blast your army into bloody snow cones. Stand aside, or..."
And there's this giant Mahoom. And there stands Thor, Mjolnir in hand.
"What's all this fighting? All this death? And for what? Bones. Bones and pride. That's all I see. And I believe I've seen quite enough of both."
"Wait, what are you doing? Stay away from the skull." And Thor just smashes the skull with Mjolnir, just smashes it into little bits.
"If only I could smash your pride as easily. Shall we try?"
You have just doomed this realm, you foolish female. If you thought this was war before, you were wrong. War is what will happen now once the frost giants learn what you have done. They will rage and raise until the sun grows cold. They will send Midgard back to the Ice Age. Tell me, Goddess of Thunder,
Is that a war you're prepared to fight? And a voice comes from behind.
Aye, she's a war before her, but not against the likes of you, elf.
And it turns out to be the real Thor.
Unhand my hammer, woman, or know the wrath of Thor.
And we have Thor striding through the door, and he's carrying his axe, whatever the axe he had when Thor got a thunder was. And he now has a robot arm. It's not the destroyer arm that we saw him have much later, but it's some kind of mechanical arm. Next issue, Thor versus Thor. And that is Thor number 3. And we do have a few things to say about this issue, but we'll do it, right after this message.
The Fantasticast is your guide to the Fantastic Four from the beginning of the Marvel Age of Comics in 1961 onwards.
Each week, Steve Lacy and Andy Leyland cover every issue, spin-off, guest appearance and cameo, and more.
And in 2015, we begin our journey through the decade that Taste forgot, the 1970s.
Join us as we take a look at
the departure of Jack Kirby and Stan Lee,
the Kree-Skrull War,
the arrival of Marvel Team-Up,
Bill Murray as the Human Torch,
creators including Roy Thomas, George Perez, Marv Wolfman, Jerry Conway, Rich Buckler and John Byrne,
and of course, Marvel 2-in-1.
All this and more at ffcast.libsyn.com and on iTunes and Stitcher.
The Fantastic Cast.
Insert catchy tagline here. Wait, what?
And we are back, and of course, we do have a few things to say about the issue, as we always do. First of all, I'm becoming increasingly fond of the art of Russell Dauterman. I really like what he's doing in this issue, and some of his stuff is kind of weird and not very well proportioned and all that stuff. Okay, let's forget about that for a minute, because I'm noticing some really cool stuff in his artwork. I'm noticing his eye for detail is really, really cool. I mentioned how much I like the design of the Giants, and that, of course, has continued on in this issue. I like the way he makes them all look completely different from each other. But there's just little things that jump out at me all through this issue that I really like. For example, on this last page here where we have Thor, the real Thor, re-entering the scene, we have one of his goats in the background. And he's careful to draw the goat's pupil like a goat's eye, because goats have really, really weird eyes. And that's the kind of thing that I'm talking about when I say attention to detail. I really like the sense of design and layout. He keeps the Minotaur looking the way that Esad Ribic drew him, so he's not really trying to look like a cow, as it were. He's just trying to match the look that went on before. And likewise, I like the way he draws Malekith. I think that Malekith is the sort of a sinewy character, kind of wispy and dare I say, elfin. And that's exactly what Malekith should look like. It doesn't quite match what's happened before, what's gone on before, as far as the design goes, but that's okay. That's why different artists are good on a book. I mean, they have a particular visual style that suits their pencils. Truth be told, there's a lot to like about this issue. I think the writing is pretty clear and good. The one thing, of course, that doesn't work for me still is Lady Thor herself. I'm really not crazy about the concept, as I've said before. But, like I said, I'm trying to keep an open mind, and she's okay in this issue. I mean, we don't get any kind of clues as to who she is or anything like that. But she acts in a way that leads us to believe that she is very familiar with the way Thor operates. So that narrows down the the pool of of possibilities quite a bit. Now, of course, we already know in the future who Lady Thor is. But, in case you haven't read the book, I don't want to spoil it for you quite yet. So like I said, I'm not real happy with the whole kind of thrust of the book as it goes. But the individual issue, like last time, is pretty good. And I can't say, that that's a horrible thing. I mean, it's actually, not a bad little story here. And, of course, it's very much in the same vein as Jason Aaron's other work on Thor and Thor God of Thunder. So it really isn't stepping that far out of the wheelhouse. And I know that when issue 5 or is it issue 6 comes up, I'm going to have a few negative things to say. But for now, I mean, this is going along pretty much as it should. And we'll see where it goes from here. All right. And with that, it is time to wrap up the show for this week.
Once again, folks, thanks very much for listening. I really do appreciate it. Hopefully next time I won't be as sinusy. Oh, God, it's allergy season is here, folks. And unfortunately, I know you can hear it in the show. But anyway, we are back over the Rainbow Bridge, back to Midgard, and we'll see you next time here on Radio Free Asgard.
You have been listening to Radio Free Asgard, a production of Tom Harris USA Productions, which is totally responsible for its content. The Mighty Thor and all associated characters are mostly copyright Marvel Comics. The stories presented are done so for educational, review, and entertainment purposes only. No ownership is implied. The silly voices, however, well, they're all me. Musical selections from Eden, the Invincible Sword of the Elfsmith, are copyright Mots Vent and are used with permission. If you like what you've heard on the show, we hope you'll leave us a review on iTunes, tell your friends, or even join our Facebook group. We really love hearing from our listeners, and we appreciate all of your support. Thanks once again very much for listening to Radio Free Asgard.